The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus came home with his disciples, and again the crowd gathered, making it impossible for them even to eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out in order to seize him, thinking, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who had come from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of devils, he drives out demons." Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. This is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder his house. And I say to you, all sins and blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an everlasting sin. For they said of him, 'He has an unclean spirit.'" His mother and his brothers arrived standing outside, and they sent word to him and called him, and the crowd around him told him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those seated in the circle around him, he said, "Here are my mother, my brothers, and my sisters. For whoever does the will of God is brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. Very frequently, the question is asked, did Jesus have brothers and sisters? Because it's mentioned in the text of the gospel today. The Greek word for brother or sister is adelphos. Adelphos has a much broader meaning than a blood brother, blood sister. Philein adelphos, philein, brotherly love, philein adelphos, philein gives us Philadelphia. The city of brotherly love. It doesn't mean blood brothers, it means community. So when we read about in the Gospels about the brothers and sisters of Jesus, they're relatives. It may well be that a very early understanding of this comes from Origen, a very early scripture scholar, who said that Joseph was an elderly man when he was espoused to Mary. He had been married before his wife died, and he had children, and those children grew up with Jesus in Nazareth and were called his brothers and his sisters. So I'll let that sit there for now, but just to kind of clear the air on it. But let me look at this gospel and wonder what it means to us now. There's conflict in this gospel. There appears to be misunderstanding in his family. And certainly the scribes challenge him to say he's possessed by a devil. So let me look at this and wonder what this means to us here at Holy Family. I'm going on retreat this week, so I'll be gone all the week. I'll be home on Friday night. So you keep a prayer for me while I'm on retreat. When I came to Holy Family 40 years ago, I was coming out of 20 years, more or less 20 years, working in administration. I carried with me my library, but I had three special books. One was the Bible, the second was the Code of Canon Law, and the third one was a manual of moral theology. My three fundamental books. I would interpret the word of God according to the canon law and according to the manual of moral theology. When I got to Holy Family, it was a big transition to change from administrative academic life into a pastoral life. To give a preference to pastoral theology rather than the academics or administrative understanding, to change language from institutional thinking and establishment language to the language of the people. That was a transition. I was following eminent theologians like Rosemary Houghton or our own Richard Rohr, a fellow called Tomas Halik, Czech, and Walter Vogels, who was a Belgian theologian, all big names in the world of theology. And they would say that the primary understanding of the Word of God will not come from canon law or a manual of moral theology. The primary understanding of the Word of God will come from the people. To bring the Word of God to life, it's the people bring the Word of God to life. I learned this very early on. Let me tell you two brief stories. After I was here not too long, I got a call from an elderly woman who lived on Huntington Drive. She was somewhat disabled, lived in a little apartment, poor as a church mouse. Her husband died years ago. She had only one child, a daughter, and her daughter lived in Montebello. So I went to see Elsie, the first of many, many visits with Elsie. And Elsie was totally depressed and despondent. She'd cry all the time because her daughter wouldn't call her. Totally separated from her daughter. So she asked me if I'd call her daughter. I said, of course. So I called her daughter in Montebello and we had a nice talk. And her daughter said, my mother terrorized me. She was a tyrant in my life. I've been in therapy for years trying to recover from the control and domination of my mother. She said, I don't want to call her. I'll have to go back into therapy. And I said, but she's lonely, she's empty, she's alone. There's nobody in her life. And the daughter said, let me talk to my therapist. I said, okay. So she talked to her therapist, called me back a few days later and said, my therapist said, do not call your mother. It will create another crisis in your life. Well, I talked with the daughter many times and with the mother, with Elsie. Tried to console Elsie and find some meaning in her life. After some years, she died and we did her funeral here. And the daughter came to the funeral. And I wonder to myself, what theology is to be seen here? Is it possible that our ponderous legalism in the church would tyrannize and wound people so much they'd leave the church? Could it be that we're so domineering sometimes in the church with laws and regulations and who fits and who doesn't fit that we exclude people who are very important in our families and in our church? It made me think again about the code of canon law and the manual of moral theology. Second brief story, somewhat little time afterwards, I got a call from a man in South Pasadena, lived up here a little bit. This man was dying of AIDS. 1985, 86, AIDS was rampant. We were terrified of AIDS way back in those days. And this man had a major, major progressive AIDS. He was devastated, ravished by this disease, and his partner was with him. They weren't married. There was no marriage. It wasn't legal in those days. And I went back many, many times to see. His name was Ron, and his partner was Bruno. They were obviously in a very faithful relationship. And if you've ever been with anyone dying of AIDS, incredible agony and anguish. I saw that partner love him, take care of him, bathe him, listen to him, deal with his anger, his fear, his anxiety. And I saw this over a period of time, and I said, I don't know what the code of canon law says or the manual of moral theology, but there is something holy about that moment. That moment is a teaching moment. God is present there. I don't know about the laws and canon law and all that, but I can tell God was present. We prayed. We prayed together. Eventually he died. We did his funeral here at Holy Family. That's a transition from the academics into pastoral theology. That means that we meet God and encounter the living Word of God in the people who are around us, in the community to which we claim to belong, in a diversity, in differences. It's not uniformity, it's unity. Augustine, way back in the 5th century, said, in essentialibus unitas, in dubis libertas, et in omnibus caritas. He said, in essential things, let there be unity. In doubtful things, let there be freedom. But in all things, let there be love. That's the teaching. Look at today's gospel here. We have misunderstandings in our church. People don't agree with one another. There's an intense desire in some quarters to have uniformity. We all have to follow exactly the same thing. And that's not unity. In our church, we have divisions because of harsh judgments. We have divisions because people want to control, manipulate, demand, tell you this is the only way to belong to Jesus Christ. And now to open up and find God's presence in all people. I mean, when you look at the misunderstandings we have in church, in our families, the coldness, the separation that happens, it's an offense against the Holy Spirit. Now, the sin that can't be forgiven, that's a different homily, that's some other time. But I want to emphasize the sense of unity which the word of the Lord gives us. In the Second Vatican Council, there was a very prominent American Benedictine priest, theologian, with emphasis in liturgy. His name was Gottfried Dieckmann. He died some years ago. But shortly before he died, somebody said to him, Father Gottfried, if you could preach again, if you could stand before the people of God and preach the word of God, what's the first thing you would say? The first message you would give? And he said, I'd speak about deification. And said, explain that, Father Gottfried. He said, I tell people how good they are. I tell people how precious they are. I tell people how much they are loved by God. I tell people how unique they are as a sign of God's creation. For when we begin to discover our goodness,
we are transformed. We become free, we become open, we become less judgmental, less jealous, less distant. When we discover our goodness, we are more kind, more understanding, more sharing, more generous, more forgiving. When we discover our goodness. That was Gottfried Diekmann. I read that years ago. I never forgot that. So when I came to Holy Family, I said, who are my teachers? The people, you, the people of Holy Family. You are my teachers. You are the ones that call me to prayer. With you, I share the word of God. With you, the journey in faith has meaning. You are my first teachers. So when I want to interpret the word of God, I put the code of canon over here, and then I put the moral theology over here, and I listen to you, and somehow God speaks to me through you. Now that's a teaching for every one of us. God speaks to you through your family. God speaks to you through the people who make up the community of your life, your everyday life. Where is division, God speaks. Where there is love, God is present. So we have the word of God today speaking about misunderstanding. So much division happens because we don't listen, we misunderstand. They will not understand the prophetic Jesus Christ until the resurrection and until the Holy Spirit comes upon them. We have to pray for the Holy Spirit so that we will be so enlightened as to see the goodness in all people. That's the teaching of the gospel today. To discover our goodness, to believe in our goodness, and to understand that the word of God, which we listen to here every Sunday, will come alive in the people with whom we share the journey of life. So who's your teacher? Think about it. Who challenges you? Who demands forgiveness? Who needs time? That's the word of God coming to life. And we, as a people of faith, enlightened by the word of God, feel, sense the word of God in the community to which we belong and the people who share our journey of life.